You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Yeah, let's give it up for our dads again, all right? I like that when they said that dads are rule breakers and trend setters. Don't you? I'm kind of that way. I know that there have been times at our house, please don't repeat this, okay? That maybe I'll get into the cookie dough and my kids will catch me and they say, Dad, you can't do that. And sometimes I'll say, watch me, okay? And I'll just break that rule of getting in the cookie dough. Or sometimes I set a trend. I'm a trendsetter. And, you know, we'll be on vacation and we're getting ready to go out and, you know, one of my kids will say, are you wearing that? And I'll say, yeah. And I said, nobody knows me here. And they'll say something like this, but they'll know that we're with you. And that's embarrassing, okay? So that's just part of being dad. You know, none of us are perfect. We're all flawed individuals, but we do love to have fun, and I just want to celebrate each and every one of you who are dads here today. Matter of fact, I want to celebrate all of you men, and I just want you to know that your Heavenly Father loves you, and He loves you very, very, very much, and you'll never know. You'll never know. Maybe in this world, you've never been able to please your earthly father. Maybe for some reason you've never been able to get his approval and for him to be able to say, I'm proud of you. You know, I just want you to know that your Heavenly Father approves of you and he loves you and he's not mad at you. He's not angry at you. He's for you and he wants to have a relationship with you and he wants to help you with all of your struggles, all of your temptations, all of your battles. He even wants to rejoice with you. And so I just encourage you to get to know this Father who loves you so, so much through the person of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and maybe your relationship with your earthly father is one of difficulty. Maybe it's damaged. Maybe it's strained. Maybe you haven't talked to him for a while, and I would encourage you to do so. I'd encourage you to take that step. And you might say, Dwight, you don't know what has happened. You don't know what's gone on. You don't know what he's done to me. It could never be repaired. It could never be restored. And what I would tell you is don't limit God. I remember I was talking to a man who came to Christ and experienced God not only as the forgiver of his sins, but his Heavenly Father. And I told him, I said, I believe that God does miracles. And I told him, he was telling me about his relationship with his son and daughter, and he said, you know, I've done some things that I regret. I've caused our family to be separated, and I just long to have this relationship with my son and my daughter. And I said, well, I believe that's possible. And he's looking at me like I'm giving him a preacher's talk and that I'm saying the things that I'm supposed to say. And I told him that. I said, you think I'm just talking to you as a preacher or a pastor? And he smiled, and I said, but I'm not. I said, I'm telling you the truth. And I said, but you're the key to restoring those relationships. And I said, it will come through humility. And I said, if you'll go to your son, if you'll go to your daughter, if you will ask them to forgive you of the things that you have done that have hurt them, and that has damaged your family and separated your family, and that you're not looking for them to just say yes right away. You understand the pain and the problems and the difficulties that you have been a part of, but you want to have a relationship with them, and that you're willing to go on their timetable, but you just want them to know that you are sorry, that you were wrong. And I said, let's see what God does. And he comes back to me in 6 months. And here's what he tells me. He says, Dwight, he said, I'm beginning to have conversations with my son and my daughter. About another 6 months, he tells me, we're not where I want to be, but we are getting along, we're going to lunch, and we're having a relationship. And that's what humility can do for all of our relationships. Today I'm going to speak to the fathers, but really I'm speaking to all of us because we're all in relationship. And humility is always the key to all relationships. And if you're willing to take that first step, whether it's with a father, a mother, a son, or a daughter, a boss, or an employee, or anyone, you will be amazed at what can happen. Because when we walk in humility, what happens is God says, I can work with that, Dwight. I can help you there. But when I remain prideful, then what happens is God's not working for me, he's working against me. And so wherever you're at in life, in your relationships, I want to tell you that humility is the key. And when you and I walk humbly before one another, we're giving God room and space to be able to do the impossible and to be able to restore and rebuild those relationships. And so fatherhood, getting it right. All of us need to understand here today that God has loaned dads a special title. And the title that he has loaned dads is that of father. You see, there are many names for God in the Bible. You know, creator, holy one, almighty. Matter of fact, the best way that you can describe God other than the term of father is I am. I am that I am. He's this all great, generous, good God. But the one that is used most frequently in Scripture to describe God is Father. His Father. And he's loaned that title to every single dad here today. And you say, why? Well, because God designed us to live as a family. And in those families, we have relationships with one another. And it all begins with the Father. And you say, well, why did he do that? Well, because he wanted you and I as fathers to point our sons and daughters to him as the ultimate father, the perfect father. I tell my kids over and over again that I fail them in so many ways and that I'm a flawed individual. And I have to ask them repeatedly for forgiveness and to go back and maybe repair something. But I tell them over and over again, there is one who is perfect in all of his ways. And it's not me, but it's our heavenly Father. And God wants you and I, Dad, to be able to embrace this title as Father so that we can be a signpost, so that we can be a guide, so that we can lead them to the perfect Father who can meet their deepest needs. I tell my kids all the time, I want to meet your needs. I want to be able to do things for you, but I will never be able to complete you. The only one who's going to be able to complete you is your heavenly Father. And so we exhibit God the Father by the way in which we love our kids, by the way in which we train them, by the way in which we discipline them, by the way in which we forgive them. And it all comes back to this one goal. We want to lead our kids to realize and reach their full potential in Jesus Christ. Now, maybe you're here today and you would say, you know what, I didn't have a great dad, Dwight. Or maybe you're here today and you would say, you know what, Dwight, up to this point in my life, I haven't been a great dad. And we can all relate to that. But here's what I want you to understand today, all of us. You don't have to remain that way. I don't have to remain that way. You can change. I can change. We can begin anew today. And that is all possible through the person of Jesus Christ. And so what I want to do today is I want to be able to share with you some things that you and I can embrace and we can understand and we can begin to implement in our life so that no matter where we're at in life, no matter if we feel that we're knocking it out of the park as a father or whether we feel that we're struggling as a father, that we can all take steps today in deepening our relationships with our sons and our daughters and with everyone. Now, David is at the end of his life, King David. And 1 Kings records his last words to his son Solomon. And they're very, very powerful. They're very, very powerful. And they're words that all of us in this room need to heed to, whether we're a father, whether we're a mother, whether we're a son, or whether we're a daughter. And here's what he has to say. When the time drew near for David to die, he gave charge to Solomon, his son. I'm about to go the way of all the earth. Basically, I'm going to die. I'm not going to be here much longer, he said. He goes on to say, so be strong, act like a man, observe what the Lord your God requires, walk in obedience to him, keep his decrees and commands, his laws and his regulations, as written in the law of Moses. He's instructing him. He's teaching him. He's reminding him, hey, this is the best way to live. Your dad is at the end of his life, and I'm telling you that it pays to have a vibrant relationship with God. It pays to have an intentional relationship with the God of the universe, your heavenly Father. And so he lists all these things, and then he concludes his talk with this. Do this so that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you go. Isn't that what every father wants for his son or his daughter? You know, if we would have the opportunity to say, what do you want for your son? What do you want for your daughter? What do you want for your kids? What do you want for the people in your life? No doubt, in one way or another, we would come back to this. I want them to prosper in all that they do. I want them to prosper wherever they go. I want them to enjoy life and enjoy it to the fullest. And that's what David was saying to his son Solomon. And he was basically saying it all comes through a vibrant personal relationship with God. And it's one of the greatest things that a father can give to his son or his daughter. Is an example of what it means to know God, to live for God, to serve God, and to be able to allow God to have rule and reign in our life. And so what I want to do today is I just want to share with us some truths that you and I can begin to embrace, no matter where you're at, no matter if you're a daughter or a son or a mother or a father. It's really for all of us. But I'm speaking directly to the fathers today. And here's the first thing I want us to get. We need to realize the blessings and the responsibility of fatherhood. We need to realize the blessings and the responsibility of fatherhood. Because here's what we need to understand. With every blessing in your life comes responsibility. Do you realize that? Whenever you pray and you ask God to bless you, what you're asking for is more responsibility. But we don't see it that way. But that's the way it is. And so the first thing that we have to do, if we're going to get this right, dads, is we have to realize the blessings and the responsibility of fatherhood. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, the prophet is speaking on behalf of God, and he will be silent. God will be silent for the next 400 years. Wow. So as David... Malachi is kind of giving the last words for them to be able to hang on and to be able to embrace, because the prophet Malachi is saying, you know what, God's not going to speak for the next 400 years, but here's what he wants to leave you with. And here's what he writes. He will turn, talking about God, he will turn the hearts of parents or the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents. Wow. What he was saying is, you know what? The next time that I come, when I visit earth in the person of Jesus Christ, I am going to redeem, I'm going to restore, and I'm going to rebuild the relationships that kids have with their parents. Because right now, it's full of rebellion. It's full of resistance. And I'm going to come, and I'm going to turn their hearts to where they want to honor you, they want to bless you, they want to embrace you. And so what he is saying to you and me is that God wants to do something supernatural in your relationships with your kids. That there doesn't need to be division. That there doesn't need to be strife. But there can be peace and joy. And so the first thing that we need to do is we need to realize that our kids are a blessing. David writes this in Psalms 127:3. He says, "Your children are a gift from God." Let me ask you a question today. Do you feel that your kids are a gift, or do you feel that they are a hindrance? Do you feel that they are a frustration? Do you feel like they get in the way of you enjoying life? You see, we need to be able to understand that our kids are a gift from God. All kids are a gift from God. They're not a bother. They're not an interruption. They are something that you and I should celebrate, and we want to do that here at New Point. Matter of fact, most of our buildings at New Point are for kids because we understand this principle. They're a blessing. There's nothing like hearing a kid laugh, right? There's nothing like seeing them smile and having fun. And as a father, we need to be able to do that. We need to be able to see them as a gift from God. But more than that, we need to be able to see our responsibility, that we've been entrusted with an unbelievable gift, a son or a daughter, and that you and I have the ability to influence and to impact and to instruct them in the ways in which they should go. Paul would say this of fathers. He would say, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them." You see, here's what I want us to understand. The way in which we treat our kids will either determine whether they are angry or whether they are joyful. Because he says the way in which we provoke them to anger is by the way in which we treat them. And if we don't see them as gifts, if we don't see them as treasures, if we see them as something that is an interruption or a bother or an inconvenience, then what happens is we're going to treat them in a way that will stir up anger in them instead of allowing them to experience the peace and the joy. And so he says here, do not provoke your children to anger by the way in which you treat them, by the way in which you relate to them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and the instructions that come from God. Now, you and I have to be more intentional with that. You see, what happens is we have a tendency, if we're not careful, we can yell at our kids, we can scream at our kids, okay, and we can provoke them to be angry kids, or we can take the time, all right, and discipline them and instruct them in the ways of God. And David said that when you and I instruct them in the ways of God, that they will prosper whatever they do and wherever they go. And so as fathers, we have to understand the responsibility that we have. Let me just challenge all of us fathers here. Nothing will have a greater impact on your kid than your relationship with them. Nothing. Dad, you know, I didn't sign up for this. I want you to know, okay? I mean, I think we'd be crazy to sign up for this because it's weighty. But your relationship with your kid is going to have the most profound impact on them. That's why you and I are to instruct them in the Lord's way. That's why you and I are ultimately called to point them to the Heavenly Father who is perfect in all of their ways. And so we're called to instruct them. We're called to have a relationship with them. And you see, as fathers, we are central to their emotional well-being. Do you know that? As a father, you're central to your sons and daughters' emotional well-being. You know, and we do that by being affectionate to them, by being involved in their life, by being supportive. And when you and I are affectionate towards them, when you and I are involved with them, when you and I support them, then you and I contribute tremendously to our child's cognitive, language, social development, academic achievement, a strong inner course resource, a sense of well-being, a sense of security, a sense of self-esteem, a sense of authenticity. You see, what happens is, a child's relationship with his or her father will affect all other relationships that they encounter for the rest of their life. You say, Dwight, what are you saying? I'm saying this. Boys grow up to be just like their dad. And girls marry men just like their dad. Y'all all right on that one? That's a heavy one. So you wonder why good girls marry bad boys? Got a bad father, probably. That's all they know. That's all they know how to relate to. That's their world. That's the normal for them. And what happens is if you're a father who's affectionate and supportive involved, then you know what? What happens is you've just raised the bar on the type of guy that your daughter's going to marry. You want to make it hard for her and hard for him, all right? You know, one of the things that we have to understand is that we have a profound impact on them. And so that's a heavy responsibility for me and for you. I love what Craig Rochelle has to say. He says, if you don't want your family to turn out like every other family, then you will need to raise them differently than everyone else does. And here at New Point, we're committed to helping you raise your family different than everybody else. All right, you have a weekly there, and sometime I would encourage you to read through that. And it lets you know what we're intentionally doing here to help you as a father, to help you as a mother, to help you as a family. Because we realize that this responsibility is heavy, it's weighty. It's something that you can't do by yourself. You know, Patty and I are so thankful for the people here at New Point who have invested and influenced our kids, small group leaders, who our kids have been in their small group from all the way from Rainforest all the way through a collective, who have spoken into their life, who have helped them, because we understand that they're a blessing, but man alive, are they a great responsibility for us to be able to manage and to be able to have. And so the first thing that we need to do is we need to realize that our kids are a blessing, but they're also a responsibility, and that as a father, I'm having a tremendous impact on their life. How much am I having an impact on their life? Let me tell you how much, okay? You ready for this? Just take a deep breath, because this is going to rock your world. Four generations. Only by God's grace will they be able to get out of them what I have put in them. Otherwise, it's going to go for four, at minimum of four generations. That means that Caleb, Sarah, Jonathan, and Benjamin's kids will have to deal with my life. That's why the Bible says that the curses fall upon the second and third and fourth generations. And what I'm saying to us fathers, you know what? Why not break the curse? Why not just say, hey, you know what? It's going to be done with in my family. And I'm not going to continue to go the way that it's always gone in the Mason household. I'm going to realize that my kids are a blessing. I'm going to realize that I have a responsibility. I'm going to realize that I'm central to their emotional health and development. And so I'm going to instruct them. I'm going to discipline them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to care for them. Because I don't want a family like everybody else. Do you? I mean, in America, our families are just shattered. I don't want that. And so I have to realize that they're a blessing, not an interruption, okay? And I have to realize that, hey, Mason, you got a responsibility here, and you need to take hold of it. So that's the first thing. Y'all still with me? Still love me? Okay, thank you. I'll go to the next point now, okay? Because it's going to get tougher, all right? The second one is love your wife. Dads, greatest thing that you can do for your kids is to love their mother. Love their mother. I mean, it always blows me away. I talk to people and you know, they're going through a separation, they're going through a divorce or whatever, and I always say, how's the kids? Or sometimes I don't even have to say how the kids. They just say, but I think the kids are handling it pretty well. Are you kidding me? No kid handles it well. Because that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's just not supposed to be that way. That's not what God intended. And so what happens is, as husbands, as fathers, we're called to love our wives. And we're called to do it in a very intentional way, a very public way, so that all can see. You know, I mean, with Patty, I'll hug her, I'll kiss her. I mean, I just love her publicly in front of all the kids. Oh, Dad, don't, please. And my philosophy is I need to do it, she needs to receive it, and you need to see it. Because what happens is the way in which I ensure my kids are secure is to let them know that I love their mother, and I love their mother in intangible ways and intentional ways. And so I'm called to love my wife, okay? I'm called to love my wife. Love's not a feeling, by the way. Love is something that you intentionally do. So when I see Patty, I want to embrace her. I want to kiss her because I feel like it. Not always. I hope she's not in the room. But I don't always. I do it because it's the right thing. I'm instructed to do that. You see, Paul writes this. He says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The word love there could be translated cherish. Let me ask you this. What do you cherish? Whatever you cherish, you think about all the time. Whatever you cherish, you protect. Whatever you cherish, you seek to understand more and more and more and more. If it's golf, then you know what? Don't mess with my clubs. I'll rent you a set of clubs, but you're not hitting my clubs. Okay? I'll take you a drive in the car, but you're not driving the car. I cherish this baby too much. See, what happens is what you and I cherish, we value, we protect, we hold close to us. And what he is saying here is that you and I are to do that with our wives, that we're to cherish her, and everybody should know that. My kids know it right up front. You know what? Mom's ahead of you. Mom's ahead of you. And if I'm going to spend time with somebody, it's going to be with her first. Because if Patty and I are on the same page, our kids can handle anything. Okay? If Patty and I are not on the same page, then you know what? They're going to struggle with most things. Because that's the foundation, and they need to be able to have it. So he says here, love your wives, cherish your wives. And you think, what do you think about the most? What do you cherish the most? Oh, I'm never giving that up. That's how you need to feel about your wife. That's how you need to be intentional with your wife. And Peter gives us instructions on this. He says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner. Now, by the way, when he says weaker partner here, he's not talking about mental capacity. Okay, he's talking about I outweigh Patty. Okay, I just want you to know that. Okay, you can laugh. Okay, I outweigh her. I'm stronger than her. Okay, but in many ways, she's stronger than me. So when he says weaker partner here, he's just talking about physical strength. Does that make sense with everybody? All right, so you can take a deep breath. All right. And as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Wow. See, listen to me. Our children are not only gifts of God. Our wives are. And so there have been times where I've had to go to Patty and ask her to forgive me or to straighten something out, okay, before I stand up here. Because you know what? I pray that God will help me to communicate in a way that connects with you. And you know what God says? Hey, Dwight, don't be talking to me. You shouldn't be talking to me. You need to go talk to Patty first, then come talk to me. Because I'm not really going to hear you until you get it right with my girl. And so go and be in right relationship with Patty. And once you get in right relationship, you guys okay on this one? So maybe this will help you with why you think that prayer doesn't work. Because it does you no good to pray if you're not in right relationship with your wife. So that nothing will hinder your prayers. Why? Because she's a gift from God to you. And so what happens is I've got to make sure that I'm right with Patty. And once I'm right with Patty, now I can go back and talk to Father. My heavenly Father. And so he says here, here's how I want you to love your wives. First of all, I want you to be considerate. Now, this is huge, okay? He wants us to be considerate, to understand her, basically. And what that means is to be thoughtful of her needs and her feelings. So if I'm going to be considerate of Patty, I've got to be thoughtful of her needs. What are her needs? Do I know what her needs are? And I've got to be thoughtful of her feelings, okay? And so he says, be considerate of Patty, Dwight. This is how you really love her like Christ loved the church, of her thoughts and of her feelings. And you may have to be patient because I still don't understand her, okay? I don't, okay? Any man here fully understand the woman that you're married to? I don't think so, okay? That's why he tells us to be patient, okay? But that's the cool thing. Because what happens is if you get this, you're always exploring. You're always learning something new. It should never be boring. If you cherish your wife, your marriage should not be boring because you're constantly exploring and seeking out because she is complex in a good way. But I need to understand her thoughts and I need to understand her feelings. And so he says here, be considerate as you live with her. What does that mean, as you live with her? You've got to spend time with her. You're not going to know her thoughts and you're not going to know her feelings if you don't spend time with her. He says, live with your wife. And that can be hard for us guys. It's hard for me, okay? I can get distracted easy, okay? I'm a goal setter. I like to accomplish things. That's why Patty and I have had to schedule time together and say, hey, you know what? Every Friday, we're going to do our best to have lunch together. You know why? Because I live with this woman. And I need to get to know her. And if I'm going to love her like Christ loved the church, that's on me. So I'm the one who has to schedule that time. And that's what he's saying here. Live with your wife. How do you spell love? T-I-M-E. It's not H-O-U-S-E, house. It's not C-A-R, car. It's not M-O-N-E-Y, money. Did I pass all the, do the spelling bee? It's not that. See, that's what we naturally think. It's T-I-M-E, because you spend time with that which you value, which you think is important. And so if I think that Patty is important, if I value her, if I'm going to consider her, okay, then I need to live with her. You know what that means? I lay my phone on the table, my cell phone. I don't live a compartmentalized life. I'm getting people nervous now. Okay, she should know everything that I'm involved in. All right, that's just the way it is. That's the way in which God has caused this to work. And so I shouldn't have secrets from her. She should know where I'm going on this trip and what I'm doing on that trip. If you love her. If you're going to love her like Christ loved the church. And then he says this, okay? Treat them with respect. Wow. Treat them with respect. That respect there means to honor her, to value her. Okay? See what happens is a woman gets a lot of her esteem from the way in which her husband relates to her and treats her. You can always tell a secure woman. You know why? Because she's well loved by her husband. She has nothing to prove. She has nothing to prove. And so as a father, I have to be able to realize the blessing that kids are and my responsibility, but I also have to love my wife because it's their mother and it's one of the greatest gifts that I can give to my kids. Let me give you the third thing. The third thing is prioritize time with your kids. Prioritize time with your kids. And this is tough, okay? I don't want my kids to think I'm more in love with the church than I am with them. I don't want them to think that they are less important than the church or my work. And so what happens is I'm a busy guy. I'm like you, okay? If I don't prioritize it, it won't happen. If I don't set up times, it won't happen. Here's what Paul has to say. He says this. He says, be very careful then how you live. Why? Because time flies by. I'm 57 years old. I know I don't look like it, okay? But I really feel like I'm 30 years old. I feel like my best days are ahead of me. I feel like I have a lot of time on the clock or on the calendar. And then I'm reminded that all of our kids are out of the house. And I think, oh my lands, I'm older than what I think I am. Because that's how life goes. And what happens is I can buy into the lie, well, I've got time for them. I've got time for them. I've got time for them. Do you know that if your son or your daughter is 9 years of age, they have less time in your home than they've spent? You know, it's just going quick. It's just going fast. And so he says, be very careful then how you live, because you're only going to have a window of time to be able to influence them. He says, not as unwise. What's an unwise person? An unwise person realizes it but chooses to do nothing about it. But as wise, making the most of every opportunity. What's those opportunities? Breakfast, dinner, bedtime, car time. Birthdays, whatever. You make the most of those opportunities and you leverage it because you know it's huge for them. Because the days are what? Evil. You know what? The world wants to eat my kids up, wants to eat your kids up. And so I've got to prioritize time with them. Therefore, do not be foolish. Don't know what to do and don't do it, okay? But understand what the Lord's will is. And so this is why the psalmist tells us this in Psalms 12, teach us to number our days so that our hearts may grow wise. And if you have kids in your house, let me just tell you this, okay? Let me tell you this. They're going to leave. And they're going to leave sooner than what you realize. Patty and I, now, our goal is to get together with our family who have left the house once a week. And so we have a family night. And we want them to come back because I wish that they were still in the house. On most days, okay? But what happens is the days are clicking, and then they're gone, and then it's just you and her. And so what happens is he says here, teach us to number our days that it's going. And the way in which we spell love with our kids is the same way that we spell it with our wife, T-I-M-E. And so John challenges us with this saying here. He says, my children, our love should not just be with words and talk. I love you, I love you. I tell my kids I love them all the time. He says, that's good, but it's got to go further than that, Dwight. It must be true love. True love. And what is true love? Which shows itself in action. I can tell Patty all day that I love her, but if it doesn't affect the way in which I relate to her and the way in which I value her, then I'm just blowing smoke. And so I need to be able to prioritize my time with my kids. I need to be able to do that. And then finally, I need to be real. I just need to be real. Here's what I believe, folks, okay? Your kids are not, look, matter of fact, if you're a leader at all, nobody's looking for you and I to be perfect. They're just looking for you and I to be real. They're looking for you and I to be real. And if you and I are real, they can handle about anything that we have to go through. That's why the writer writes this. Here, let's bring it up here in 1 John. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. You see what happens is if I'm not real with my kids, then they're ultimately are going to find out that I'm a phony. If I'm not real with my kids about my marriage, they're ultimately going to find out. You know what? They did a study on this, and people who get divorced after the kids leave has a greater effect than you having a divorce when they're in the house. I bet you none of you thought that, did you? You know why it has a greater effect on a kid when mom and dad gets a divorce after the kids leave the house? Because they begin to think, everything I grew up with was phony. Everything I grew up with wasn't authentic and genuine. They just waited until we left the house and then they got a divorce. Because this bears out to be the truth. And so you just want to be real. I mean, our kids know that Patty doesn't always agree with me. And I don't always agree with her. and that we have disagreements and that we have to work through things. That's why I love her publicly. That's why I hug and kiss her and embrace her in front of them, because I want them to know, hey, you know what? Our marriage is strong enough to go through disagreements. And so we want to be able to be real. We want to be able to be authentic. 1 Thessalonians says this about it. It says, we loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. See, when you share your life with your kids, you're sharing your struggles. You're sharing the issues, because here's what I want you to know. My kids are going to deal with the same struggles that I've had, because I've been impacted by my dad and mom. And so what happens is I need to be able to share with them about my own life. I remember when my sister and I were writing the book together, she was asking me questions, and she found out some things about me. And she says, does Patty know this about you? I said, nope. Does your kids know this about you? I said, nope. And she challenged me. She said, I think they should. Because some of the things in our life serves as an example to follow, and some of the things in our life serves as a warning not to do. And so one night, some of you already know this, I sat around the table and I said, hey, I'm going to tell you dad's life, all of it. And I had to tell them, hey, the first time I ever got drunk was in eighth grade. First time I ever smoked pot, I was in eighth grade. First time I ever got kissed by a girl, I was in eighth grade. She kissed me, by the way. I didn't kiss her. And I told them that, and we had a great talk. And you know what? Here's what I want you to understand, okay? This is why it's so important. One of our kids, they were being interviewed for a position, and the guy sat across the table from him and said this to him. I'm going to ask you some deep personal questions that may make you uncomfortable. And here's what he said to the guy. You're not going to ask me anything that my dad and I haven't already talked about. The guy contacted me. He said, Dwight, I want you to know I've never had that in all of my years of interviewing somebody. That they've said, hey, you know what? You're not going to ask me anything that my pops and I haven't already talked about and processed. You see, that's what they want. Because I guarantee you, your son, your daughter, my son, my daughter, what happens is we're all in this thing together. We're all in this thing together. And we need to be able to be real and authentic and to be able to say, here's how I've learned. This is why I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Here's how I connect with God. Here's how God's helping me with this temptation or this issue or this battle in my life. Here's what Andy Stanley has to say, and I want to close with this, okay? Andy Stanley says, your greatest contribution in life may not be something you do, but someone you raised. Wow. And here's what I would do for all of us here in this room. I would say it like this. Your greatest contribution in life may not be something you do, but someone you influence. I believe that. Because we all have the potential, and a father has the greatest potential to influence his sons and daughters. And I want to be able to help you. And I want you to know that God is here to help you. And so here's how I want to close. Okay? I'm going to do something I just don't do often. But I want you guys to know that I love you. I really do. And that we're a band of brothers. And that I struggle with the same issues that you have. You know, I don't have a perfect marriage. I'm not a perfect man. I'm not a perfect dad. I'm not a perfect anything, leader. And so I know that you battle the same stuff that I battle. And so I want to pray for you. And so if you're a father here today, if you're a man here today, I'm going to ask you to stand, okay? So you can just stand. And I just want to pray for you, because here's what I know about you. You're under tremendous pressure. And wives, okay, and ladies, I want you to understand that your man, your husband, your father, daughters and sons, are under tremendous pressure. Tremendous pressure. And most of us feel that we're inadequate. Most of us feel that we don't have what it takes to be the father, to be the husband, to be the leader. And it's a lie, but that's what we believe. And I just want all of you men here to know that, you know what, you're no different than any other man. You're no different than me. And I just want to pray for you that you'll realize the blessing and the responsibility, that you will be even more intentional in loving your wife, that you will prioritize time not only with your kids but with the people who's important in your life, and that you'll just be vulnerable, that you'll be real and authentic, and God will honor you for that. So would you pray with me? God, I thank you for each man that is standing here today. And God, I know that we struggle because we struggle with all kinds of things, and many of us feel condemned, we feel guilty, we feel shame, and that's not about you. You don't want us to feel guilty and shame. You want us to be free and at peace and joyful because of Christ. And so I just pray that you would just sweep over this group of men here today, and that they would know that you love them and that you care for them. And whatever battle, whatever struggle they find themselves in, whatever the relationship they have with their sons or daughters or their marriage, that you are a God of miracles. And that if we will just look to you, you will help us do what we cannot do on our own. And so may each and every one of us as men here today be encouraged today, not because of ourselves, but because of you and what you're willing to do in us and through us. And so may we not leave here today discouraged, but may we leave here today filled with hope, knowing that you are a God of miracles, that you are a God who restores and rebuilds relationships, whether it's with our own father, whether it's with our wife, whether it's with siblings, or just friends in general. And so I pray a special blessing upon each man here today. May they know that they are valued and deeply loved by you. And I pray this in Christ's name. And all of God's men said, amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.